Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They've given this a lot of thought over the last few weeks. And if you've listened to any of what BT and I have been saying about the Giants and their head coaching search, there's been a lot of names that have been thrown out there. It's been, okay, yeah, maybe this guy. Yeah, all right, maybe that guy. Well, I finally come up with a definitive choice that I want. I don't care if it's realistic or not. It's what I think needs to be done for the New York Giants to finally turn this thing around. And if you are one of those people, and we've heard from some callers, and we've heard, you know, C-Mac or whoever else on the station believing that the Giants have more talent, and, oh, they're just a good coach away. If you are one of those people who believe that this Giants team is more talented than what the record says that they are. Now, I don't think they have great talent. Do I think that they're better than 2-10? I do. I mean, that's not saying much. When you say, they should be better than 2-10, okay, well, what's that saying? Should they have 2 more wins, 4-8? Is that really good? The answer is no, it's not. But if you are a believer, and while they got the quarterback in place, while they have all these studs on defense, they just need a competent defensive coach or coordinator to figure things out, that would, to me, lead you to a veteran head coach. And we've been down this road plenty of times before, with saying they need, it's New York, you don't want a first-time guy, I don't care if it's offensive or defensive coordinator, you need a proven, no doubt about it, head coach, especially if it is not a rebuild. So we can argue about where we think the talent is for the New York Football Giants, but I think it's clear that this is not a total rebuild because of the players that they have in defense and the money that they have invested in the defense, as Evan talked about yesterday on Evan and Teague. You also, the fact that they have a quarterback in place, this is not a total rebuild. And one of the popular names you're hearing about, wow, Mike McCarthy, well, he won a Super Bowl. Good head coach, going to raise the floor. Okay, maybe in the postseason, he's not going to have great success, but at least get this team to the next level. Which leads me to my definitive choice to be the next head coach of the NYG. And that's Bill Belichick. It has to be Bill Belichick. If you're going to go down that road, and I think they need to go down that road of an experienced head coach. Flores was a guy that I'm really enticed by. I love Brian Flores, and I think what he can bring to the table for an organization if, in fact, he gets a second opportunity. I don't think this is the right fit. There's something in my gut that's preventing me from saying this is the right fit. And if you're going to hire McCarthy, and you think the Giants have enough talent, now why wouldn't you just go for the better head coach? Is anybody going to try to tell me that Mike McCarthy is a better head coach than Bill Belichick? Come on, we're not really going to have that argument, are we? It's Thanksgiving. Let's not get aggravated today. Let's try to enjoy the day. You can't say that Mike McCarthy's better than Bill Belichick. I could say that there isn't a coach alive or gone, dead, that's better than Bill Belichick. He's the greatest ever. The only knock, there are two knocks on Belichick. One is his age, which I think is ridiculous. He's 73. Okay, is it ideal to hire a 73-year-old? No, but the Giants situation is not ideal. And even if he gets this thing turned around, who knows what could happen in the next 3 years? You're telling me he can't coach till 76, 77 years of age? It's what he wants to do. So the one knock against Bill Belichick is his age. I mean, I'm not even going to entertain the idea, well, you only won with Tom Brady. You say, well, who brought Brady in? Who drafted him? Who developed him? Oh, guess who? BB, Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time. So that's the one knock, his age. The other knock is his girlfriend. Now, I will admit, I don't want to deal with any of that nonsense. I hate the idea of it. Just the same way we get caught up in social media now. God forbid they show somebody's mother or girlfriend. You know, Jackson Darko's out there, makes a great play. They cut to his mother and everybody's got you know what for his mother. Oh, like they've never seen a female before. Oh my God, Jackson Dart's mother. It should be about what Jackson Dart's doing. So I'm going to try to eliminate that nonsense, whether it's Dart's mother, you know, Zach Wilson's girlfriend or his mother, Bill Belichick's girlfriend. I don't care about it. Now, I understand that she, Jordan Hudson or whatever her name is going to draw a lot of attention if Bill Belichick were in fact to come here. But I am going, I'm sifting through that garbage and just looking at who is the best head coach. And the answer that I continue to come up with in my own mind is Bill Belichick. Gruden was a thought. Okay, yeah, McCarthy. All right. Yeah, Brian Flores, I love what he can do. I love his demeanor. There are obviously reasons there. You know, the lawsuit, all that stuff. But more so for me, it's the inexperience that would make me a little nervous to go all in on that. The Giants have to hit on this. They have to. Now, I should say, we don't know the state of the organization with the health of Mr. Mara. So that's obviously a priority here. It's why I've kind of laid off the gas a little bit in going hard after the Giants for continuing to employ Joe Shane. Let's just see what happens the rest of the way here, the rest of the season. But if you're just talking about a head coach and you believe that some pieces are in place, and they are in place, some pieces are in place. It's not a full rebuild. If this were a full rebuild, would I be saying I want Bill Belichick? I wouldn't. I wanted Bill Belichick for the Jets under the assumption that Rodgers would be back. Belichick and Rodgers, to me, were appealing with that team. Now, maybe the Jets are better off for going in a different direction. Cleaning house, okay, it is a total rebuild. Muji, Aaron Glenn, you at least know the direction. How it ends up, who the hell knows? The Giants are not in a total rebuild spot. And as the report came yesterday from Josina Anderson saying a couple of teams are interested from the NFL, a couple of teams in the NFL are interested in talking to Bill Belichick. And, you know, behind the scenes, at the very least, about head coaching jobs during this carousel season. This is Josina Anderson's words, according to leaked sources. A third team could also enter the mix. Any rate, this is the most important part from her. Belichick still has deep respect from a number of owners across the league, and that's all that matters. Yeah. Well, you wonder why. I mean, how can he ever have respect from the owners across the NFL? I mean, maybe because he's the greatest head coach that ever lived? So, forget the Jordan Hudson stuff. Forget the age for a second. Look at the list of head coaches who were out there. You saw the list that Jay Glazer reported on a week ago. Tell me definitively that you feel better about any of those names than you do about Bill Belichick. I'm going with BB. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now, I don't expect this to be a reality, but it should be. And I do expect, I do believe Josina Anderson's report. I don't know about everything she's doing or where she's working, all that stuff, but I do, she's connected in the NFL, clearly. I do believe that there's some truth to that. Does that mean Belichick's going to get hired? Who knows? I'm going to give you one example before we get to the calls. Look at the team that Belichick was last, I guess, closest to being hired by. The lowly, pathetic losers in Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons. Jets are going to get a good look at them this weekend on Sunday as the Falcons come here. And for what will be, like that is such a bad game. I don't even want it a part of my quadrant as I'm watching the games on Sunday. I'm already going to be on edge because I got crap. The holiday weekend's over. Got to go back to work starting Sunday night. You know, with SNY, then Monday, who knows, whatever. like, I don't even want to watch that game. That's how dreadful the Jets and Falcons matchup is. But look at the loser, pathetic, lowly Falcons of Atlanta. They had the opportunity to hire Bill Belichick. He actually wanted that job. Liked the owner, respected the owner. And for whatever reason, Arthur Blank sided with general manager Terry Fontenot, who, again, in year five, has a losing team. Again, in year five, has a losing team. And now he's going to be on his ass along with Raheem Morris, the guy that they hired instead of Bill Belichick. So when you think about the young up-and-comer and hot coordinator, look no further than the loser Atlanta Falcons. They made a mistake, and they'd be fortunate if they had the opportunity to hire Bill Belichick again. And if they do, they better take it. The Giants are in a spot where they, I'm assuming they could hire Belichick. Again, who knows what's going on with the hierarchy here with the health of Mr. Mara. But let's say that everything goes okay in that regard. You don't think Belichick loved this organization? You don't think he'd want an opportunity to be the HC of the NYG? I'm not turning that down. Especially, like, if Mike Tomlin shook free or one of the Harbaughs, different story. Because I think those guys, or Andy Reid, those guys are great. Sean McVay, those guys are great head coaches. And obviously, you know, they're a lot younger and have a longer future at the very least. But those guys aren't available. At least it doesn't appear that that's going to be the case. Get me BB. Corey is on Long Island. What's up, Corey?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to say our focus as a Giants fan, our focus is on the wrong place. We should not be focusing on the head coach, quarterback, wide receiver. I feel like the Giants have lost their identity. The Giants were dominant in the 80s because they had a big offensive line and big defensive line. I know it's going to sound crazy, but I feel like instead of having somebody like a Jackson Dart or Malik Nabers, we need to have a dominant offensive line and defensive line.
But I'm not sure what you're talking about, Corey. I mean, I don't know if you heard any of the first 10 minutes of the show. I'm talking about the head coach, and you're talking about everything other than that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have Belichick, but I feel like for the last 12 years, we've been focusing on getting a quarterback or a wide dominant wide receiver.
Well, I mean, they built a defense that was supposed to be really good. I mean, look at all the money invested in that defense, and thank you for the call. Look at all the names on that defense. We all talked about it coming into the season. The Giants were supposed to be built to be a good defensive team, or at least have the defense lead the way this year. And what many people, you know, the same people who are calling me now saying, you Giants are close, they're going to win 11 games next year. Those same people said the same exact thing last year. They said the same thing last year. Oh, we got Russell Wilson, a competent starting quarterback. Jackson Dart eventually going to take over the reins, and the defense is going to be great. Abdul Carter, baby! Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, Burns! And here we are, where the defense has been the main culprit for the Giants' failures this year. Hasn't been the offense. I mean, it's been a lot of everything, but you get the point. So I don't think that the Giants were lacking identity trying to build the defense. That was supposed to be their identity. And quickly, we learned it was not the case. Their identity became futility yet again. I mean, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Is it too much to ask to have teams competitive in New York for Thanksgiving, the football teams? And the answer is absolutely yes. We just want to have them be relevant for our Halloween. They can't even get us to Halloween, let alone Thanksgiving. I mean, once we reach November, we know the football seasons around here are long gone. So it's always about the head coach or the GM or who the next quarterback's going to be. That's why, to me, it's imperative they hire a veteran head coach. Who do you trust more to make the most out of what the Giants have on this roster? Mike McCarthy or Bill Belichick? I know my answer, and it's not particularly close. Andrew is calling from Eastchester. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Sal. Happy Thanksgiving, you and yours, brother.
You too, Andrew.
Kind of already made my points for me. I want no part of Belichick. The age, you can't discount it because they're going to have to go through the coaching process again another 4 or 5 years. And as far as a girlfriend goes, we really need, you know, her on the back page of the Post. We don't need the circus. You know, Carolina is desperate for that juice because they're not a big football school historically. We don't need the circus coming to town.
I'm with you.
That's the only reason why I'm anti-Belichick.
Right, but Andrew, think about that. Think about what you're saying. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't want the circus either, man. I can't deal with it. But I think in today's media world, the way that we are with social media, there's always going to be some kind of circus. But let's agree there for a second. We don't want the circus. I'm willing to overlook that because I believe in him, the head coach. Who do you want to be the next head coach of the NYG?
All things considered, give me McCarthy.
See, there you go. So we're along the same lines, and thank you for the call, Andrew. Happy Thanksgiving. We're along the same lines in that we want a veteran, established, former Super Bowl champion to be the next head coach. Well, if we're there, why not get the best one? Belichick is the best. And I guess our difference, Andrew, is that you don't want the circus, so you're like, give me the second best option or third best in McCarthy. I mean, you could throw Gruden in there as well. I'm going to the top. I'm overlooking the nonsense with his girlfriend. Who knows how long that's going to last? Who knows if there would be a change if it happens in New York? I mean, there'd have to be some kind of, I don't want to say agreement or talking to, because what are you supposed to do? It's his personal life. And he can't help. Like, I don't think Bill Belichick wants this circus. It's the media that is causing this circus because of how old his girlfriend is and because of how young she is and because how much she wants the attention. The media is feeding into what she wants to do or wants. This has nothing to do with Bill. You say, well, he allows it to happen. That's his girlfriend. What do you mean allows it to happen? It's his girlfriend. She's allowed to do what she wants. What's he supposed to suppress her? He got hired to be the head coach. They didn't make any change in North Carolina even with that circus. I don't think they like it. A lot of it has been negative attention. But let's just forget that for a second. While acknowledging it's a part of it, is that the most important thing? It's a bigger deal because he's been losing in North Carolina. Do you really think if you had one season to get this team turned around, you'd rather go with Mike McCarthy than Bill Belichick? Joe is calling from Oceanside. What's up, Joe?
Hey, I love the offense we got. I think we should keep Kaffa and make Spagnola an assistant coach. I tell you one thing with the Giants, they are so entertaining. This is so much better than last year. At least we're in the games. And Sean, with that third-round pick with the two sacks, he hit on his first four picks. Carter's going to be a monster. If you keep Kaffa and you bring Spagnola in as an assistant head coach, they're going to roll, because one thing Spags knows how to do is unleash the beast.
Joe, I hate to break this to you. I'm assuming you're a longtime Giant fan, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, so you lived through the glory days, right?
Oh, yeah.
Parcells.
86.
O.J. Anderson, Dave Meggett, all those guys. Banks and Carson.
Hold on.
I'm just saying, you lived through all that, right? Die Hard, Big Blue, all those. Yeah. Tiki and all, getting that Super Bowl even in 2000 with losing, obviously, Eli and Coughlin. Okay,
yeah,
all of it. Yeah. Rodney Hampton, right. Keith Hamilton, all those guys.
Harry Carson, all of them.
How do you go from that, Joe, to saying that a 2-10 year has been entertaining, and you've enjoyed this season?
Because last year was the worst possible year with Glennon and the other clown.
Yeah, DeVito, I get it. Joe, don't you think it's time that we raise the expectations a little bit again for Big Blue?
I think when you got a 23-year-old girl on your arm, I think there's only one thing you're thinking about. I don't think the Giants are the top priority.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my man.
That's fair, but that's also different. Bell, and thank you for the call, Joe. That's also different than talking about how you're excited watching this team. Like, we all wanted to see the Giants be more competitive this season, and they have been more competitive, but they're 2-10. At the end of the day, they're the first team eliminated for the second straight year. Doesn't that make you angry and frustrated? You're happy just like, at least they scored 27 points. And not me. I'm sorry, I have higher expectations than to settle for, while it is better or more aesthetically pleasing because they're scoring more points than it has been the last couple of years, 2-10 is 2-10 anyway, you slice it. I could argue that this year is even more infuriating because it shouldn't be 2-10. That is a separate issue than saying you don't want Belichick because of his girlfriend. And the way that I would counter and say, well, when he's got a 23-year-old girlfriend, the only thing on his mind is something else, not football. Well, then why is he coaching? He doesn't need the money. You think Bill Belichick needs the money from North Carolina? The answer is no. He loves coaching. That's what he loves. More so even than his girlfriend. Now, I'm sure he likes some of the stuff that comes along with a girlfriend. And maybe for a Giant fan, you have to hope that maybe the relationship will run its course in a few months. You never know with these things. I mean, it happens with girlfriends, with marriage, happens all the time. But forget that. Just focus on who. Shouldn't we all want the same goal here? We want the Giants to get better on the field. Forget about the off-the-field stuff. We want them to get better on the football field. One way to do that is to hire the best head coach available. Tell me again definitively who's the best head coach available. Who is better definitively than Bill Belichick? There isn't one. You can't tell me it. It's a trick question because there is no answer.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Baldy, I want to start with something that's been bothering me. Giant fans have been calling up all week talking about how they're close and this and that, and their talent is better than the record. What do you see when you watch the New York Football Giants, first team eliminated of all the teams for the second straight year, 2-10? You think their talent is better, a lot better than what the record is?
No, it is what it says. I mean, you give up, you know, 3 40 plus yard runs to Jahmyr Gibbs. How good are you? I don't care. Like, if you're Brian Burns or Abdul Carter or Dexter Lawrence, I mean, we all know where all those guys were drafted. But, I mean, you give up runs like that in one in overtime where nobody even touches Jahmyr Gibbs to go for a touchdown, I don't think you're very good.
Well, Baldy, I'm from the school. I would disagree a little bit here. I hear you. I mean, you are what you are. You got 2 wins. I get it. But, you know, there's been a lot of bad Jets and Giants teams that we've watched, and they just languish through a half with one first down, and they score 3 points and can't stop anybody. I guess the greater point is, if you can compete for 3-plus quarters, score, make some plays, you got to have a little talent. Like, they're not the Titans.
Yeah. No, they're not the Titans. That was the best offensive performance I saw them all year. I mean, that was really strong. I mean, Jameis, outside of the, you know, I mean, you like to see him maybe kick that field goal on fourth down. But regardless, I mean, that was a good performance considering you're throwing to Isaiah Hodgins and, you know, Wandale's your number one guy, and, you know, I mean, all that stuff. And so I thought the offensive line played really well against a good front. So, yeah, to your point, I mean, offensively, that was a good performance. And defensively, for three quarters to keep Detroit down, I mean, there was much worse teams out there than, you know, than the 2-9 Giants right now.
What do you think of the job Kafka's done here so far as the interim head coach in 2 weeks?
Well, I thought it was a good performance. I mean, he went deep in his bag with, you know, some of the deceptive plays that he ran. They were well executed. That means that they were at least practicing them, and to pull them out there and execute them in a game like they did, I thought was pretty strong. I thought he was pretty clever in some of the designs, play designs, and just the execution, what they asked Jamison to do, which, you know, was to run it a couple of times. I thought Kafka was pretty good. I got to give him passing grade on how that offense executed on Sunday.
You think he gets a real chance to win the job here?
I mean, you know, they obviously know him. And so, you know, it's a question of what's the best fit for the team, and whoever's going to make that decision. Is Joe going to make that decision? Is the Mara's going to make? I mean, I don't know who's going to make that decision. But you would at least talk to him about the ideas that he has. I mean, he knows the personnel better than anybody else that would be coming in the door, which doesn't mean anything, you know, because Mike Vrabel didn't know anybody up in New England, and he's got the hottest team in the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you should at least, not just courtesy, but, you know, he's been there for, he's toiled, and he might be ready. I don't know. You never know until these guys get the opportunity. But, you know, he's basically campaigning for the job right now.
Yeah, as no doubt. You know, and the conventional thought is like, hey, if you're the head coach and they don't keep you there as you're an interim, well, there's no way you're going to stay in the building and be the OC. I mean, that right. doesn't make – okay. And I agree with that. But in this situation, let's say somebody like McCarthy, so like a veteran, gets the job, and the veteran wants Kafka to stay on, and Kafka trusts the veteran's vision – would it be the worst thing in the world to work with Dart for a full year with Neighbors, with Cam back, with some draft equity, and then go out and hit the coaching cycle next year?
Well, I mean, then are you just delaying it? Are you just delaying the inevitable? I mean, what? I mean, look, if they turn it around with him, then you don't have to worry about that. But if they're struggling and out of contention here in November, then you're just delaying the whole process. Like, what would be the purpose of delaying it?
BT and Sal on the Fan. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. New York football has been god-awful. It's been that way for a while, Baldy. We get some good games coming up on Thanksgiving. The team that just beat the Giants here, the Lions, they'll start things off with the Packers. I can't figure the Lions out. I thought they'd be much better than this. I thought they were going to destroy the Giants on Sunday. I was wrong. What are you seeing with Dan Campbell and his Detroit Lions here?
You know, they're a big play team generally. Like they lost the tight end, Sam Laporta. Everybody has injuries, but he was a big part of what they did. You know, I think that the Giants did a pretty good job controlling the offensive line. They didn't look like a dominant offensive line to me for much of that game until Jahmyr Gibbs got loose there at the end. But yeah, defensively, look, I mean, they basically made Aiden Hutchinson disappear in that game. And he's their best pass rusher and their best playmaker. They've got rookies at safety. They've got small backups playing defensive backs. And those guys, you know, Meek Robertson is a nice player, but like he's their best corner right now. You know, they've had so many injuries in their secondary, and it's really caught up. Teams are, you know, taking advantage of that right now.
Baldy, are we just seeing where, and we've heard this a lot, and there's examples, but I think this year is a really good illustration of it, where the good teams, the really good teams, like the Lions were supposed to be, are a little thin because, you know, once that quarterback gets that big second contract, you just lose. Even the Bills with Josh Allen, you know, Burrow goes down. That defense is awful than Cincy. Like, I feel like the situations around the NFL are more impacted by the quarterbacks getting paid and these quote-unquote good teams losing players that kind of help keep them amongst the elite in the NFL.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, look at what New England's able to do with a rookie contract. You know, with Drake May right now, they could go get Milton Williams and Harold Landry and Robert Spillane, you know, really fill up their defense, you know, and go get, you know, Diggs. And so they spent their money wisely on players that have all made major contributions. Now, they also hit in the draft. I mean, they've got four rookies starting on the offense right now, and they're really, really good. So, you know, it was a combination of a great coach, a lot of money to spend. They spent it wisely, and they have a rookie contract. When Drake May gets paid, when that ever that time is, whenever they decide to do that, they're not going to be able to keep a lot of these veterans that are making, you know, real good contributions right now.
You look at the second game on Thanksgiving, Dallas and the Chiefs, as an elimination game here for each of these teams?
They're right there on the cusp. I mean, there's five games after this week. I just saw the Chiefs, you know, come from behind and hit some explosive plays to beat the Colts. It's basically you're playing yourself out of the competition. But, I mean, if everybody beats everybody up, we might see teams that are 9-7 in the playoffs this year, the way it's going. And so it's a possibility that somebody could still stay alive. But, you know, if the Cowboys go to 5-6-1 with, you know, five games to play, that's going to be pretty tough. They almost have to win out in order to get in.
Do you like it when it's like that? Like that kind of parity and like a couple of teams that are barely 500 getting in? Is that good for the league here?
No, I mean, I just got done watching the Rams. I mean, they look head and shoulders above everybody. But Seattle's very good. New England is very good. The Eagles can be, although, and we'll see what the Chicago Bears are on Friday against the Eagles. We'll learn a lot. I mean, if Chicago comes to Philadelphia and beats them, you have to consider them that team. You know, with a big winning streak and a hot quarterback and a good coach, you got to consider them to be an elite team. Normally, like right now, I don't believe there's seven playoff-worthy teams in either conference. It doesn't look like it, you know. And so, but we've seen that before where it's a little diluted. Wild card weekend, we see some blowout games.
Now, not like this, though, Boldy. I think at this point of the season, there's always like two or three defined heavyweights. Like, no doubt, top teams. I know the Rams are good, and I'm with you on them. But I think outside of them, everything else is debatable who the next two, three, four best teams are.
Probably. I mean, we'll see about the Patriots. They've answered every test. They went to Buffalo and won. They went to Tampa and won. They've answered every test. They got an easy quiz this week, but you know they're going to get tested, you know, down the stretch a little bit with some teams. But I mean, they got a 9-game win streak, and they don't make many mistakes. And the quarterback is really good.
You mentioned the Bears. I can't get myself to believe in them. It's not just the way that they're winning these games. I just don't trust the Bears and Caleb Williams. It's been impressive. Do you believe that they are a legitimate team? I know this game Friday is going to be a big, you know, measuring stick, whatever you want to say, if they can win that game. I don't expect that to be the case. Where do you think, though, Baldy, the Bears are overall legitimate team in the NFC?
Well, they lead the league in takeaways. You know, you're giving extra at-bats to the offense. The offense doesn't make many. They made one mistake against Pittsburgh last week. But that defense is taking the ball away at a rate that nobody. I mean, they're going to have 40 takeaways at this rate right now. Wow. The top two interceptors, Kevin Byard and, you know, Nashawn Wright, they both lead the league with five interceptions. You know, if you keep taking the ball away like that, they're going to win a lot of games. It's just the way this league always goes with the turnover ratio. Jeez. And the quarterback, he knows what he's looking at right now. And the offense makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of creativity to it. But they never get very far away from the basics of being able to run the football, especially in short yards and goal line situations.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I didn't think that Caleb Williams was this accurate.
He's not. I mean, he's completing 60% of his passes. He's still missing too many, but he doesn't play a frenetic style like he did last year. His feet are in the ground. It's heavy play action. He's under center a great deal of the time, maybe more than any other team in this league right now. The two rookies that they drafted on offense right now, Luther Burden and Colston Loveland, are really coming on. They don't look like rookies now. Like, they're real playmakers for him. And Kyle Manungai from Rutgers has been a really good contributor to him. So they got a good rookie class. The left tackle was a rookie last week, Trapillo from Boston College. All the rookies have showed up. And then the coach is, he doesn't coach the quarterback. He coaches all 53 guys.
Now you got to love that. All right, last one for me. Give me a quick answer on this because it's going to lead to something a little bit bigger. I want to at least give the Jet fans a throw him a bone here. You think Cam Ward could play? Can he play? Yes or no?
Yes, he can play.
Okay, then that changes things. And I was going to ask you because right now the Titans have the top spot, the Giants are two, and then it's the Saints, the Jets, and the Raiders. Now, obviously the Saints, the Jets, and the Raiders are all hunting quarterbacks. The Giants don't need that. They've got Dort. And that's why I asked about Cam Ward. Like, if they were not sold on Cam, I was going to ask you if there was a chance that maybe the Titans would take a quarterback. I know that's unconventional, but I think most people assume, well, the Titans will trade out, and I just needed your opinion if they were going to, you know, remain absolutely married to Cam Ward. And you like the young man. You think he's good?
I like him a lot.
Wow.
Okay. I saw him a couple weeks ago, and I said, we need good young quarterbacks. And he's getting, you know, he's thrown to a rookie tight end, a rookie wide receiver, and the offense line is a mess, and they fired their best coach, Bill Callahan, the offense line coach, with his son. I mean, it's just a mess there around him. I mean, he might be end up being one of these reclamation projects down the road, like Darnold or Baker. But I mean, I think the kid can play, and he's as tough as can be.
You doing a game on Thanksgiving, Boldy, or what do you got? You all?
I am doing a Texas A&M in Texas on Friday, and I'm doing the Jets and Falcons on Sunday.
Condolences for that.
God bless you. Boldy. Hopefully, you don't eat too much.
Well, it's
Friday.
if you want to double dip, you have some travel issues, so you try to get home for the holidays, and the Jets are right up the road for me. So, I'm going to make the game fun. I'll tell you that.
There you go.
Happy Thanksgiving, Boldy. We appreciate
your time. Guys.
We'll talk to you next
week.
Thank
you, brother.
There you go. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
The New York Giants are the most entertaining 2-10 football team to ever roam the earth. There have been so many unbelievable football games that they have given us. Yes, 2-10, coach fired. Obviously, hardcore Giants fans are just sick of the losing. But my goodness, in a world where we never get any fun with New York football, this team has at least delivered that. And you have another one of these games where they could have won, they should have won, they did not. But man, I was glued to the TV the whole time. I was laughing. I was into it. So I thank the Giants for that. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I got to say, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, Jameis Winston, oh, man.
That was the greatest play I've ever seen.
I mean, he's
the play of the year.
I saw a whole bunch of people reacting to that in such, like, such a positive way. It actually brings a smile to my face. Like, one guy basically said that Jameis Winston should be able to play for all 32 teams. So whenever a quarterback goes down, he's the first guy that comes off the NFL bench to go play for that team.
Got to clone him.
Right. And, you know, it's He's not afraid to throw the ball down the field, which is sometimes is great and has been great for the Giants. And the other times, you know, he throws an interception. It turns the momentum of the game around. So you have to live with all of it. But the flea flicker, the quarterback pass, I mean, just all the kind of crazy stuff that the Giants and Mike Kafka did yesterday and showed, look, the offense really isn't the problem. I mean, it's not, we all know what the problem is. You know, can somebody come up with a key sack in a moment in time when you're supposed to come up with a sack? Can somebody come up with an interception, a turnover, or something to kind of stem the tide? And I mean, every single Giant fan in my life yesterday is texting me as the fourth quarter is beginning, and they're like, we're going to lose this. We're going to lose this. Like, there's this defeatist attitude amongst Giant fans out there, and they all want Shane Bowen's ass. I know that. You know that. We all, every Giant fan out there, get rid of the defense coordinator. Like, how many more guys you want to fire in the middle of the season?
Well, I mean, yeah, they will at the end of the year, of course.
I mean, you got to come up with realistic things. So now, what's realistic here with the Giants? We believe they have their quarterback of the future. We like their backup quarterback. There'd be no reason to get rid of Jameis Winston next year. You got to keep him. It does make you think why they didn't play him over Russell Wilson at the beginning of the year. That I will agree. There are some guys that are making the most of their opportunities now that probably wouldn't have had opportunities if other guys didn't get injured. So you see Isaiah Hodgins and Wandale Robinson. These guys are making plays, and it looks like they're all having a hell of a lot of fun. And that's something we can't say about the New York Giants. And it's saying this, all knowing that they are the first team eliminated from the playoffs this year.
Which is really a conundrum, because I don't know what you can take from this. So if you think about the things that you're moving forward, we know Jackson Dart, but Jackson Dart did not play last night. We know yesterday. We know Malik Nabers. We know Cam Scadaboo. But those guys are out. They weren't a part of this game. So what do you take from this? Mike Kafka, is he going to be the coach? Probably not. Jameis Winston's not going to be the starting quarterback next year. So I would say, you know, some of these other ancillary players on offense that you mentioned, I don't know if Isaiah Hodgins is going to be here. I believe Wandale Robinson will be. And also, I mean, I think finally, you know, the one thing that no one's complaining about with the New York Giants?
The offensive line.
Yeah, there you go. So at least you got that.
And I also thinking about, you know, all of this stuff. I mean, so yesterday in the NFL, once again, there's a handful of coaches that just make decisions that, you know, and I guess I played 40 years ago or 30 years ago, so the game was completely different than it is today. And I know that just simply because the amount of people or coaches that end up going for it on fourth down in all these crazy situations. And, you know, it's easy to say after the fact that Mike Kafka, you know, attempts the field goal, they make it, they go up by six. Now Detroit has got to force everything. They got to go for it on fourth down. They got to score a touchdown. They can't just get to the 40-yard line and attempt a field goal to tie the game to put it in overtime. So this is happening all over the league, folks. It's not just Mike Kafka. I mean, it's everybody. It's Aaron Glenn. It's Mike McDaniel. It's, you know, Dan Campbell. I can't even begin to tell you how many coaches have done this. And when it works, they're all lauded for it because it takes guts to go for it. When it doesn't work, they just get roasted. And every situation is different. And this situation from Mike Kafka yesterday, this is the one where you kick the field goal.
Oh, see, I disagree. I loved him going for it because you got nothing to lose. And the way the defense was playing, it was like, come on, they're going to go right down the field and score. You're talking about Giants fans that were texting you. I was watching the game with a bunch of Giants fans. Everyone to a man's like, they kicked the field goal. We're going to lose by one. Everyone knows we're going to lose by one. When you have nothing to lose in the season, just go for it. It was great.
That's
be aggressive.
That's the other part of it. You have nothing to lose other than the game itself, and who cares, because you are not going to the playoffs. So yeah, so when you put that part of it into the equation, I can understand it. But if you want to win the game and you want to walk off the field, the best chance for you to win the game, regardless of what your Giant fans friends say and my Giant fan friends say, kicking the field goal there is the right thing to do.
This is why I will disagree, is because if there was one thing that I could trust, there's two things I could trust in that game. One was Jameis was going to give somebody a chance in that situation, and he was going to, and obviously it didn't work out, but this was not going to be some sort of fakakta terrible play. Like, he was going to throw the ball in the end zone, he was going to give somebody a chance, and the offense had looked good the entire day, and that the defense sucks. So, like, with those two things going on, the combo is, I'd much rather have Jameis Winston go win the game for me than have my defense have to go win the game for me.
I know you're kicking off to the Lions, so they may get the ball to the 30-yard line as opposed to starting on the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
I know all that. But I also know that it's a hell of a lot harder to score a touchdown than it is to kick a field goal to go into overtime.
And planning on not getting it.
I know, but I understand.
They went to go win the game right there.
But the fourth down conversion rate isn't nearly as good this year as it has been in past years. And that's all across the NFL. And I think defenses are expecting it now. Defenses aren't, you know, running guys off the field and on the field. They're not this disorganized. They expect teams to go for it because that's been the trend across the NFL. And again, I don't, you know, it's. And we can believe you at this point.
It doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter. But I have to say, yes, extremely, extremely entertaining. And I love the fact that Mike Kafka is going for it. Like, he is trying to impress upon everyone that I have an imagination, that I do things, that we can do things a little bit differently, and we're going to have some fun. And quite frankly, three of his best players aren't on the field.
Yeah, it was that Jameis Winston touchdown catch was, to me, the play of the NFL, the play of 2025 in the NFL. The fact that it looked like you got Olszewski's running around like, oh my God, he's going to throw this thing. Then it's Jameis. Then he makes
and
the catch.
Underthrows it.
So he gets it. Then he breaks a tackle. And then just the cinema of it, you see him do the finger roll in the end zone. Then there's a cameraman right there to have the guys like strolling down doing the dice roll.
Yes.
I was crying when this was going on. It was the most unbelievable. Look at this. And then they cut it before the finger roll. I could watch this all day long. We should just run this as opposed to show on our faces today. Over and over. Here it is.
There
this
it is, thing. Yes.
It's the greatest touchdown. It was the cinema that should win an Emmy. It was absolutely fantastic.
So we come in here this morning, and we all know that it's the defense issue. But for some reason, we have a smile on our face when we're talking about.
We're also not Giants fans. You know,
but we sit here week in and week out and talk about how they're going to lose and which unimaginable way that they can lose. But I have to say, and being on a bad team really sucks. It really does. But if they're going to look like that,
yeah,
and they're going to have fun doing it, I mean, I give them all the credit in the world. I give Kafka all the credit in the world for calling some of these plays.
So you know who agrees with you with the field goal is Malik Nabers, who posted and quickly deleted his thoughts.
Yeah, because he wants to win.
He
wants his team to win, and you know, again, aggressive play calling. If they score the touchdown there, Mike Kafka is going to be heralded. Like, what a call! That's a great. And I don't know if they have they probably ran one of their 2-point plays. I would think. You're assuming that you're going to make it, but the trend in the NFL is that you're not going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of those things. It's like each individual situation is different, and then you look at these trends. Sometimes you use that information, sometimes you don't. Al did a dramatic reading of the Malik Nabers post this morning on the warm-up show. I probably can't do as good as he did, but for people who might have missed it, posted and quickly deleted Malik Nabers. Sometimes I think they'd be making us lose on purpose. Because it's no way, bro, you throw the ball instead of running it to make them burn 2 timeouts, then you don't kick the field goal, then they have to go down and score. Football common sense.
But that's the other part of it, too. The throwing as opposed to the running.
Right.
That's the other part, you know, that we haven't really discussed. And, yeah, I mean, he's not wrong, I can tell you that. And, you know, the thing I love about that is that he's invested. He's watching, and he should be watching.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and we all love him as a player and as a pick, and he's going to be a huge part of this team's future. I am happy that it's out there. He did delete it, but it's like none of that stuff actually helps the situation, you know, when your star player is sitting there saying that the coaches in charge don't have any common sense.
But just Mike Kafka, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, I want to see him do this with Jackson Dart now Monday night in New England. So let's see what that looks like.
Yeah.
New England's got a bunch of injuries that they're coming out of their game against Cincinnati yesterday. They have like three or four really significant injuries. They're missing their, they'll be missing their left tackle, Will Campbell, the rookie, who's actually had a great season. And there'll be a backup left tackle going against Brian Burns. So, I mean, you know, so all of a sudden the injury bug is now starting to hit New England. They've kind of stayed away from that for most of the year. But this hopefully Monday night, if the Giants are going to play this way,
yeah.
It actually is fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and Jackson Dart hopefully comes back and is as good as he was prior to the injury. I mean, the defense is so bad, and I understand they're out, you know, without the 3/4 of their starting secondary, which was bad to begin with, and no Kayvon Thibodeau, and you're playing against the Lions, and Jahmyr Gibbs is running all over you. But they're still a dangerous team because of the things we saw yesterday. Like, once again, they should have won the game. And by the way, it's the same formula. So I'm driving in. I hear a promo of us talking last Monday about the game where we're talking about the Giants. And I go, well, it was the same thing, though, with the new coach. You score first. You have a lead late against a team that's better than you. It has a better record. And you end up losing the game late. And they did it again.
You know, I know how you love a good list.
And, I love a sports talk list,
yes,
man.
And I'm just going to give you a list. One guy is on this list.
Mm.
And we've talked about this guy in the last couple of weeks for a different reason. And you'll probably know it, but I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
All right. This has to do with head coaches in the NFL. Most wins in their first seven seasons. In their first seven seasons as an NFL head coach. So it can't be like a retread or something like that.
Yeah.
Had to be this person's first job.
Interesting.
So there are six people on this list because three of them are tied with the same amount of wins.
Okay.
Okay. So I will just tell you the first coach on this list has 86 wins in his first seven seasons as a head coach, and he did it in the NFC.
See, you know, Tomlin pops in my mind, but you said NFC because of what he did. So now you got to go to a teams that have had good quarterbacks for a long period of time. The Green Bay Packers. Because that's all I've seen is those sons of bitches win the division for every year of my life, except for one or two. So I will say that out of all those guys, Mike Holmgren will be the guy that has the most.
All right, so Mike Holmgren is third on the list,
son of a
with
bitch.
75.
All right, so that
now,
means
however, there are two other coaches. One is living his list right now.
Also, Matt LaFleur.
That's right. He's got 74 wins in his first 7 years. And the reason we were talking about him a few weeks back is because, you know, of course, there are those rumors, there's that nonsense out there that if the Packers don't reach it, there's a possibility that they would move on from LaFleur.
Yeah.
I'd be like, if I'm the Giants, that's the first guy I'm hiring.
Sure.
Yeah, cut him, fire him, do whatever you want. I'm hiring him. Exactly, right? All right, so anyway, number one on that list, NFC, you're right about the quarterbacks. You're right about the Super Bowls.
There's only one guy left in that same vein. Was a guy who had a ton of success with a couple of quarterbacks in the division on the same team. And that's our buddy, the inflatable co-pilot in the movie Airplane.
Yes.
Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy is actually tied with Matt LaFleur. So if Matt LaFleur can win this weekend in Detroit, he would pass Mike McCarthy on this list, and he would have his 75th win.
You want to talk about organizational stability?
But the top two, one is one of the foundational coaches in the history of the NFL.
Lombardi?
Who ended up owning a football team himself.
Oh okay. Yeah, Paul Brown.
Paul Brown, that's right. He did it back in 1946 to 1952 with, of course, the Cleveland Browns.
Mm.
And then the all-time leader in this category, the coach who's got 86 wins in the NFC. And he did it like when I was playing and he took over for a Hall of Fame head coach who kind of retired right after he won a Super Bowl.
All right. So while you're playing, he took over for a Hall of Fame head coach.
Yep. One of the great offensive minds in the history of the NFL.
NFC.
Yep.
Fleegs, you got anything on this one?
Had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
I'm thinking Niners. Bill Walsh, maybe?
Bill Walsh? Not Bill Walsh.
George Seifert.
Yes, it is.
Oh!
That's an NFL person right here.
Yes. NFL man, Al Dukes.
I can't help it. I'm eating a crumb bun.
From three,
George Seifert won 86 games in his first seven seasons.
Wow.
And now Matt LaFleur can jump over the great Paul Brown. All he needs is three more wins. He'll get to 77 if he can get them here towards the end of the season.
Man, that is one hell of a start to a career. And if he is available, oh my goodness, the Giants would jump all over. Now, speaking of the Giants head coach, I've been seeing a lot of momentum.
Okay, momentum.
Momentum with a particular guy.
Let's see. A momentum with a particular guy. Yeah. Is it Jeff Hafley?
No, it's not him.
Is it an NFL coach right now?
Yes, he is. Well, he's not a head coach right now, but right. Yes, he's coaching in the NFL right now.
He is coaching in the NFL right now. Is he a defensive coordinator?
He is.
Is he the defensive coordinator for the LA Chargers?
No.
Is he a defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs?
No.
Is he a defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No.
Is he a defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts?
No.
Holy
crap. Although Lou Anarumo I've also heard a lot of.
Yes.
But no, this is, nope.
So this is a defensive coordinator. Man, what am I missing here? What am I missing?
He is, according to at least this one particular
ML
account,
football.
No, it's not ML football. That he's the betting favorite to be the next Giants head coach. Oh, according to Polymarket.
Polymarket.
Oh, Polymarket okay. Says that this man is now the betting favorite to become the next Giants head coach. And there's a whole big explanation as to why this man is a defensive guy. He's going to take all the Giants.
Brian Flores.
No. He's going to take all the Giants talent. And he's going to turn it into a top five defense. Which, I mean, you're going to go with a freaking another defensive coach. You better bring him.
And does he have head coaching experience?
No. Actually, I shouldn't say another defensive coach. Brian Daboll is an offensive coach. But I'm just so sick of seeing defensive coaches.
But this is a head coach without head coaching experience.
That is correct.
Does he have a tie to Joe Shane?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Let me see. I don't know. But yeah, he is, he's 39 years old.
Okay.
30 and a son. Doesn't look like it. Yeah, there's no ties to Joe Shane.
I thought I just gave you all the guys that I thought.
You might have made a mistake when you mentioned one team. Said defensive coordinator for a particular team. You might have meant the other one. You said the L.A. Chargers. It's the L.A. Rams.
Oh, the L.A. Rams.
Chris Shula.
Chris Shula. Yep, there you go.
Chris Shula is the guy right now.
He seems to be the guy right now.
Well, seems to be, could quite possibly be.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Sources are saying possibly discussing things.
That's right. So, it's a long line of Shulas, man. You got Grandpa Don. You got Pops Dave.
I played for Dave.
You did. Did you like him?
He was my head coach after Sam Weish got fired. Yeah, I liked Dave a lot. It's just that our team was in transition. They drafted a quarterback, and that's when I came to the Jets. So, 92 was the year that I had David Shula.
Did you tussle the hair of a young Chris Shula on a practice field somewhere?
I did not, not that I remember, but I do remember Gary Reasons, who was on my team for the Bengals on a Monday night game, grabbed the bill of David Shula's hat when we were playing Monday night in Pittsburgh for some reason. And just like, well, like this.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why he did that.
That's a strange one.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for David, there was a lot of that being played that week, a lot of that highlight being played that week by ESPN. There's a lot of discussion about it, about how disrespectful it was.
Yeah, it
would feel like, you know, if you went over to Joe Sipp and you grabbed the bill of his hat,
yeah,
he'd just punch you right in the face,
wouldn't you? Well, yes.
Or he'd backhand you right to the twigs and berries.
Yes, he probably would, but I would never do such a thing. Yeah. You know, who would do such a thing?
Well, Gary Reasons did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess they're looking defense. If they're looking defense, man, you better get a good offensive coordinator with Jackson Dart. Maybe it's Mike Kafka. Maybe Kafka stays. Maybe he's assistant head coach. And that's not, that seems weird too now. Organizational weirdness, not stability. You're going to bring in a coach, you can't tell him who that freaking offensive coordinator is going to be, can
you? Yeah, Mike Kafka will get a job easily anywhere, you know, as another offense coordinator somewhere. I mean, especially with the way that the offense is has shown out since Jackson Dart took over, and even with Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, you know, they're playing with all these young kids out there. Like, their Malik Nabers guy isn't out there. Their Cam Scadaboo guy isn't out there. They're playing with just guys that are trying to make a name for themselves in the NFL, which I do give like Wandale Robinson a lot of credit. You know, that kid, you know, he's actually showing out now. He's showing up.
Yeah.
They're actually throwing the ball to him.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the poly market odds on this whole thing, New York.
You go poly market, I'll go Calshi.
Giants head coach. Yeah, I don't even see it there. It's not even here. Right now, I'm sure it's somewhere that I can't find it. But anyway, yeah. So Chris Shula, Lou Anarumo,
Pro Football. Let me see.
I mean, you got the games. You got all the games there. That's what I'm seeing too.
Yeah,
but I don't have the head coaches at this point.
I got Epstein here.
You do have Epstein.
Yeah, I got Mayor Mondami here too.
What are they going to do? Transition team spots or whatever that is? Who's going to be on the transition team?
No, they had him winning.
Well, yeah, so did everybody else.
Will Mondami
establish
universal health care?
Got it.
Will NYC buses become free? What's this? Before 2027.
All right, I've got the Giants head coach on Polymarket.
Oh, by the way, Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
So this guy who put this out there was correct. That Chris Shula is the betting favorite on Polymarket to be the next Giants head coach.
Yeah, but all it takes is like one person to put $1,000 on that guy, and then it skews the whole thing.
That is true.
How many people are betting on it? Or
doesn't say right here. But we've got 36% right now on Polymarket.
I got to get out of this Mondami stuff. Hold on.
And then Clint Kubiak, 18% is the only one that's even relatively close.
Okay.
Antonio Brown's on there. He's on that list.
Going to jail?
No. Nope, for being the next Giants head coach. Anthony Campanile, he's actually got more people betting on him than Anthony Campanile.
Really?
And, yeah. Bill Belichick, 5%. Nagy, 3%. Lane Kiffin, 2%. Joe Brady, 6%.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin's out of it. I should have never brought his name up in the first place.
Yeah, you really just caused a stir on Jackson Dart's dad's podcast.
Or whatever podcast he went on.
That's what it was. It was Jackson Dart's father's podcast.
Oh, I thought his dad was a guest on a podcast.
No, Lane Kiffin was the guest on Jackson Dart's dad's podcast.
Oh, okay. And then they were talking about their Dart and their Kiffin thread. How do you think that Dart and Kiffin thread's going these days?
Oh, I'm sure it's hot and heavy. People like to crack into that. I bet you Gina's trying to crack into that text thread.
Don't you think?
I would. If I was Gina, try to figure that out and then make a bet where Lane Kiffin's going, Polymarket.
What does it say for Kafka and the coach?
Kafka?
Yeah. Is he on the list?
7%.
7%. Okay, so at least he's on a list.
Yeah, he is on
a list. I was just trying to think about putting myself in his shoes and thinking about like what I think I need to do, because everybody thinks that they are the answer. I don't care. You don't go into coaching if you don't think you're the answer.
Sure.
You got to believe that you can do this. And you have to show something remarkable, I think, in order for an owner to be willing to stay with what some of the people that are there now. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
This is why I think that their new defensive coordinator is going to do things differently. He's going to be more aggressive. And so if you are playing the Giants, like you're the Patriots and you're playing the Giants Monday night, you're going to have a different defensive coordinator and a much more aggressive offensive coordinator and a coach who knows that they're not going to the playoffs, but he's got to do things that are going to show the Giants ownership, Joe Shane, anybody who's part of the decision-making process, that you can do this, and especially if Jackson Dart is playing, you want him to have his best game.
Yeah.
So the audition is real right now for him in his mind. It may not be in the mind for Giant fans, but in the mind of Mike Kafka and this new defensive coordinator, this is all about auditioning for, if it's not the Giants, then you're auditioning for, you know, other jobs around the league that are going to open up.
Polymark at Lane Kiffin out as Ole Miss head coach by January 19th. Yes, 76%.
By January 19th?
Yeah. Jim in Ortley Beach. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
hey,
same here.
Jimmy, what's happening, brother?
Good. Hey, listen, you stole some of my thunder, but I agree with you 100%. This is a five-game audition. You got a young Kafka, 38 years old. The kid they just brought up as defensive coordinator, he's a young guy. I think if both of them, you go around 3-2, you're in every game, I think the ownership would just want to keep him. And also, Kafka, who else are you going to find offensive-minded out there as an assistant? So, just your thoughts on that, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Mike Kafka was interviewed last year as a head coaching possibility, because of he kind of comes along the way that Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, you know, he's like in that next group of young coaches, and the game has changed. The game has changed a lot from when I played it, for sure. And these guys are the ones that are tied into it all.
Yeah, I wonder who the next young guy on that staff is, on the offensive staff of the Rams, because you know Kevin O'Connell.
I know who it is. He was here. He was the offensive coordinator for the Jets.
Yeah, but he's not. But he wouldn't be the guy. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Mike LaFleur.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about him because he's already been here and that already happened. It's like,
yeah, he must really suck as an offensive coordinator, watching Matthew Stafford have his best year ever as a pro. I mean, like, again, it's not always about the coaching. It's about the players that you have and who are you coaching.
Yeah, I mean, but it's
Davante Adams got nothing left either, huh?
No. I don't know. Who are you talking to? I don't know who
I'm kind of talking to myself in the sense that, you know, these players were here, these coaches were here, and now all of a sudden, here they go, and they become, you know, the hottest thing in the NFL when, in actuality, they were all here.
Yeah, but I'm with the Shula Giants thing, though, because I don't think that because you had Mike LaFleur here with the Jets, I don't know if it would do that again or whatever, and why would you make a lateral move at that point if you weren't fired? But who the next guy is, like the quarterback coach or the passing game coordinator, whoever that is that Chris Shula might bring with him.
Just like the way that Aaron Glenn brought Tanner Engstrom with him.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So, interesting. You know,
I sit here 2 weeks in, even though they lost two games against two teams that are clearly better. But the way they lost these games and some of the decisions that I personally disagree with, I think he went from 15% to 5%.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he hurt his chances.
I agree, because it's the game management part. I know this is for a fact. This is what they were frustrated with Dabes with, is the game management fact. And they have a team. They have guys up there, the Harvard grad, and like he's young, but they have a team that does the game management stuff, gives Kafka or, you know, previously Dabes, I don't know, a sheet of what you should do in certain situations. But knowing what to do still takes reps. And he just doesn't have reps, man. And either that or they have their game management book wrong.
You know what he's got to do? You're going to laugh at me when I say this. And I'm like 20% being like honest. Mm-hmm. The 80% I'm being kind of stupid. He's got to play Madden all night. I think the more you play Madden and you battle test yourself for, okay, what do I do in this situation? I mean, you're calling plays.
Well, you're joking and it's kind of stupid.
80% joking. Right. 20% being serious.
Right. But it's kind of stupid.
Right.
But it is essentially virtual reality training.
Yes.
How else are you going to learn that without having reps as a head coach? There's no vehicle to have reps as a head coach.
That's really the 20% of the truth I'm saying. Like, of course it's a video game.
Right.
But in terms of like quick decisions, unless you pause the game, which should be banned, you can't pause the game because then you're stopping like the real time.
Right.
But if you don't pause the game and you have to really make these decisions, it's working the decision muscle.
I kind of like that idea.
Thank you.
Right.
I'm improving that from 20% real to about 57% real.
I mean, your brain needs reps.
Your brain needs reps.
Right. The whole Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 repetition thing. Now, that's probably debunkable at this point because it was 40 years ago or 30 years ago when he did that book. But still, I think there's a truth to that. You're just more comfortable when you've had more reps at it.
I don't.
Mike Kafka just doesn't have a ton of reps at it.
I don't know which coach will be comfortable saying it, and Kafka certainly has the age to do it, but one of these days a coach is going to come out and say, yeah, you know what really prepared me for this job? Mm-hmm. Played Madden all night.
Yeah.
Because we are growing up or living in the Madden era. Like, the Madden video game has been my entire life. I'm 42 years old.
I mean, I don't know this for certain, but I think our military use virtual reality simulations.
Damn right. Yeah, I think so.
Of course they
training do. To go to space. Right. Use virtual reality.
Training to fly, you know, these new highfalutin planes. These UAPs that people think are UFOs, but are actually just, I don't know, Chinese or American.
We still don't know the answer to that, by
fighter.
The way.
Well, there's a new documentary, as we know, coming out.
I can't wait to see that. Isn't that where they're basically going to blow the whistle and say it's all aliens?
Yes.
Intelligent life elsewhere?
Right. I can't believe it.
Well, you know, because you're closed-minded. You got to watch the movie at least.
I'm not closed-minded.
No, but you saying it the way you said it is closed-minded.
I need photo and like real, I mean, not empirical, because you can screw with math. You can make the math work. I need visual evidence.
Did you see the documentary yet?
No, it hasn't come out yet.
Okay, so then how do you know yet?
Because it's just going to be people talking about it. So there's not going to be real evidence.
Maybe so, but if
it's going to be, oh, this Hellfire missile hit this UAP and it should have destroyed it, but it kept flying. So that must be an alien that has advanced technology that can withstand our greatest weapons.
Well, just keep your ears open and listen.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. I'm just not going to believe it.
Okay. Well, but that's closed-minded. Go into the documentary thinking maybe you will believe it.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm going to believe it. I'm going to say I'm going to watch it. I'm going to find out.
When I meet an alien in person, then I'll believe it.
A stranger from the outside.
That's so terrible advice, Evan.
What?
Go into a documentary saying,
open-minded.
No, open-minded is one thing.
Isn't that what I just said?
No. You said you want him to go into it believing.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I didn't mean that. I apologize. Go into it at least open-minded that you could believe it.
Gotcha.
I don't think you should go in with an opinion. Go in just saying, hey, let me see what I see.
But what Tiki is telling you is he needs to literally meet the alien in person, shake his hand, have a cocktail with, and then he will believe.
Yeah, but here's what's unfair about that. Tiki, have you ever been in outer space?
I have not.
Okay, so then how do you know
most people have not. They've been in low Earth orbit. They're not in outer space.
So then since you haven't been there, how do you really know it exists?
Because it does exist.
All right, well, same thing with aliens.
There is
what's the difference?
There is a rover on Mars.
I understand. Look, I know that it exists, but you're saying until you meet an alien, you don't buy it. Well, you haven't been in space. How do you buy that? Oh. You haven't been to Iraq. How do you know it exists? or Antarctica.
Because Lieutenant General Raymond Odierno told me personally.
Okay, so when the people in the documentary tell you personally,
yes,
I got shot down by an extraterrestrial, then you'll believe them?
Yes.
Okay.
As long as they have proof.
Fair enough. Let's go to Mitchell in Fort Lee. Hey, Mitchell.
Hi, guys. So first of all, Tiki, I just want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving, so I probably won't be able to call in tomorrow. So
good. Happy Thanksgiving, Mitchell. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, number two, I was in Atlantic City this weekend, and someone that's close to Bill Belichick, I asked a question to him, and I asked him, I said, what happens, like you guys saying, you know, Bill Belichick might take it or might not. What happens if you take Bill Belichick and take a good GM with Belichick that they're good friends? Why don't you take Mike Lombardi with him to be the GM? Good pair, because they're down together in North Carolina, and he told me was that he doesn't want to come, but he doesn't want to go back to the NFL. He's happy down in North Carolina. But, I mean, it would be a good choice to at least ask him, bring the two guys together. They're working together already in North Carolina.
Mitchell, yeah. I'll tell you why I don't believe that. Because I think most people, when they have a job in which they're being paid a good amount of money,
yep,
they're not going to openly say, I can't wait to leave.
Right, because now, if he does that, and it's not leaked out by, let's presumably say, Jordan Hudson, then North Carolina has to start looking for a replacement. And at some point, they might hire the replacement because they don't trust Bill to come back. And so they're playing both sides of the stone here. And it's just not something that I think will be smart if he really is committed to staying in North Carolina.
Do you remember a couple weeks ago when Brian Daboll was fired, Bill Belichick was asked at one of his press conferences, hey, would you be interested in the Giants job? And to me, I didn't even think it was news because he said, no, I'm focused on my next opponent.
Right. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Of course he's going to say that.
Of course. He has to.
Like, if I ask Sean right now if he's interested in another, like, sports media job, even if he is, He's not going to say
Sean,
yes.
Are you interested in your third podcast? We got to talk about it right now. You interested in it?
No, I'm focused on the two podcasts I'm doing right now.
Right, and you got a job in the exact moment right now. So
yeah.
No is a good answer.
Exactly. No. But that doesn't mean that in a few months when he doesn't have a job, he won't be interested.
I'll tell you this. If I am interested, I ain't bringing Mike Lombardi with me.
I just wouldn't put a lot of credence into A, what Bill says publicly, which right. he's already said, no, I'm focused, or right. people close to him. Like, they're not going to publicly say, yes, right. he's looking to leave.
Which is Jordan Hudson.
Right.
People close to him is Jordan Hudson.
Look, I'm going to use logic on this. And this is just basic logic. And sometimes logic doesn't work out. Sometimes it does. Bill Belichick coached in the NFL for basically a million years, going back to his Giants days, to the Cleveland job, to the New England job, his time with the Jets. He was in the NFL for a million years. He's mm-hmm. widely considered maybe the greatest of all time.
Yes.
He did not get an offering to his liking when he was available to coach.
Yes.
If all of a sudden he's getting
more... I don't
think
he got interviews.
No, he got the Atlanta interview.
Well, that was it. But other than that one...
I think that was it.
I don't think he got another interview.
Yeah, for whatever reason, he wasn't widely considered. If that changes from the Giants or Tennessee or whatever team you want to come up with... I find it hard to believe that he wouldn't be interested in returning to coaching in the NFL.
He's going to be interested. He told us this before he took the North Carolina job and hasn't changed. He's 14 wins away from Shula, all-time winning coach.
That's exactly right.
It matters to him. He's dying to be back, but he can't overplay his hand either. He wants to coach.
Miami.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
I think I have the answer. The Miami Dolphins.
Sounds interesting.
That's where he'll go.
Especially maybe he keeps Mike McDaniel as the offensive coordinator.
Nah, guys don't do that. They don't take that kind of humbling. But think about it. He gets to beat Don Shula's record where Don got most of his victories.
That's an interesting thought.
You like that
one? Who's coaching his offense?
He'll try to pry Josh McDaniels away from Mike Vrabel again.
Why would Josh do that?
No, I got somebody he has a texting relationship with.
Who?
Brian Daboll.
That's true. You're joking, but maybe.
That actually does make sense.
Dabes might be an offensive coordinator next year.
And he worked for him.
And do great.
So is that your long-term prediction, Tiki? Yep. Miami for Bill and Brian.
Yes.
Bill and Brian.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.